Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
It's time for today's Aaron Boone Report on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by Woodbridge, by Robert Mondavi, and the manager of the team with the best record in baseball. Mr. Aaron Boone joins us now, as he does every Thursday at 4. Aaron, it's Michael and Peter. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing okay. Don is not doing well. I'll explain why he's not here. He, once again, because he tries to outdo everybody, he's gotten COVID for the second time, so that's why he's
off. My gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Second time. 22-8. Can you get happy about it, or you keep saying to yourself it's early and I can't really celebrate anything yet?
I look at it as it's early. I'm very pleased. Don't get me wrong. Like, you know, life's a little better when you have that kind of record and you're racking up wins like that. And, you know, you're coming off a good series against a division opponent. So, you know, pleased with where we're at, but also tempered with, you know, it's such a long season and we gotta keep working on getting a little bit better all the time.
Now, I look at this, and I said this yesterday on the show after you guys won 5-3, Aaron. I said, the pitching is, I think, you might disagree with me, most responsible, because if you look up and down the lineup, you can make the case that there are guys that are not performing up to what you expect them to perform, but we don't even pay attention to that because the pitching has been so extraordinary. Do you expect more from your offense?
Yeah, I do. And I really do feel like as it heats up, the offenses will across the game will start to pick up a little bit too. We've kind of outperformed the league offensively, but I still feel like there's more in there for all of us offensively, and hopefully that continues to build on that, and it continues to become, you know, one of the hopefully many strengths of this team.
Aaron, are you embarrassed? Do you struggle at night knowing that you play in a little league ballpark?
Oh man, that was an interesting comment. No, I mean, you know, no, I think we play in a cathedral. That's a pretty special place to be. And, we certainly take advantage of it sometimes. There's it's not like it's this enormous, or I should say small, ballpark all over the place. There's a place to go in our ballpark that's certainly short and play small, but there's a lot of places in our ballpark that play very large. And I would say even early on, you know, especially with some of the cold and the windy games we've had, like the ball Stanton hits that gets out down the line, if that's hit on a normal day in the summer, it's straight away right field and 10 rows deep. Just the wind was howling so much that day. And, so early on here, it has not favored the offenses, you know, not just us, but everyone with some of the weather we've had.
You know, Aaron, I don't know. I'm sure you know this because, you know, nobody crunches the numbers like the Yankees, but David Cone has crunched the numbers and said that Yankee Stadium plays more like a pitcher's ballpark than a hitter's ballpark because if you're a pitcher, he said, there's a lot of places that you could go to get out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we know the short porch is a short porch, but the rest of the ballpark plays pretty large.
Yeah, exactly. You know, sometimes you see short places in a ballpark and you think that makes it this great home run or hitter friendly stadium. And, you know, there's like the Cincinnati's of the world where everything plays kind of short. You know, yeah. I always have this argument. The one place that plays more neutral than people think is a place like Houston, because where it's short to the lines and, you know, whatever, however many feet into the gap, in the power alleys where where usually people hit homers and stuff, and then to center field, it gets big. So, yeah, there's places to go, certainly in our ballpark, but, you know, we try, and we also try and take advantage of it. You know, we have guys that can hit the ball with power the other way, and that serves us well playing at Yankee Stadium.
Now, I'm sorry, Peter, maybe you guys do this, and I don't know, but I would tell Chris Woodward, you know, the wall is not on wheels. You don't wheel it back for the Rangers. It stays in the same place.
You took the words out of my mouth. Yeah.
Well, I'm not into getting in a pissing match with a silly comment. So, I mean, whatever.
Oh, that's the best time. That's the best way. But really, in all seriousness, though, how could he complain? It's not like you moved the fences back for the Rangers. It's the same spot. You want to hit a home run there? They had a home run that would have been a home run in one of the 30 ballparks. And the one that he complained about with Gleyber Torres would have been a home run, I think, in 8 of the ballparks in the major leagues.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's an intense game, an emotional game, and sometimes you say something in the heat of, you know, but look, it's certainly in the past and certainly not something that we give much consideration to.
Did you get an opportunity to hear Michael's gorgeous call of Judge's walk-off the other day?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Several times.
First of all, what did you think of Judge in the moment? And second of all, what did you think of Michael? Just fantastic.
Oh, stop it.
Well, I thought Michael was tremendous, as always. You know, like I do make a habit of going and hearing him and John and their home run calls or the big calls in a game. It's kind of the baseball fan in me coming out. I do like to hear those things. Judge, it was great. You know, Judge had a game and a half or two in there where, you know, he wasn't swinging great. And then I felt like that day, his batting practice was turned up and intense. And if you go back to his first at bat that game, he swung at the first pitch of the game and just missed a ball to right center, but put a really good swing on it. And I was like, in my mind, I was like, okay, there he is. And sure enough, he puts together an at bat there, you know, at the end to get us a huge come from behind win.
One more thing on that, Michael, sorry. Aaron, but also this week a conversation has been there, and certainly we talked about this with you last week, is this strike zone situation with him. First of all, how do you try to help him in regard to that, and is there anything that can be done to affect change with regard to the umps getting it right with Judge? Because it does really seem consistently like he's at an unfair disadvantage.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that, you know, obviously we try and, you know, sometimes subtly, sometimes not so subtly, you know, make it known, you know, that, hey, this is happening. You know, I do, as I've talked to you, I do think some umpires are aware of it. I do think he gets pitched down there more than some other people, and he does a good job of laying off of pitches just down and out of the zone. But I do feel like I kind of feel like across the league it's happening more. You know, we saw that call in the Red Sox game last night. I don't know if you guys saw it, but there are some more. Seems like that ball that's, you know, consistently a ball or two down is turning more into a 50-50 ball. And you know, I think part of that is, I think across the league you're seeing.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You know, teams, catchers really value receiving the low ball, and I think across the board guys have gotten better at that, and I think it's probably lend itself to some more, even more low strikes. But you know, and certainly to Aaron, it's something I do talk to him about, you know, and we try to address as best we can.
Now, Aaron spoke to Bob Klapisch of NJ.com yesterday, and this is the quote, and I think it's pretty interesting. He said, "We used to be the same eight guys, eight right-handed hitters with the same plan, and pitchers could get us out the same way. Now we have so many ways to beat you." You co-sign on that?
Yeah, I think there's no question that we feel like we're more of a complete team, and I give the guys a lot of credit, our players, and in this case our position players, just the dedication and the commitment that they've all had to, like, you know, try and just get incrementally better at every little nuanced, every part of the game where we can gain a little bit of an advantage on a given night. You know, we've worked really hard at our base running and how we approach that and how we even warm up for that. You know, we've poured a lot into our defense and, you know, the running game and both sides, controlling the running game and using the running game, you know, while also trying to, you know, hold on to our identity of a team that slugs and controls the strike zone. So, you know, there's a seriousness about this group while also, I think, having fun playing the game and having fun being together, about, you know, being really, really good at the little details. And that's what's been really good to see with this team so far.
I read a story in The Athletic by Ken Rosenthal, and a lot of the credit, you gave credit to Luis Rojas, your third base coach, and he has helped control the other team's running game. What has he done in layman's terms that we could understand?
I think it's just another one of those areas of the game that we've put a real premium on and a priority in making sure that, you know, we're learning all the time, studying, you know, opponents, making sure our pitchers understand the importance of it. And so we've, you know, we've committed more time to that, you know, starting in spring training with, you know, starting the game planning, you know, when we go and put a game plan together as far as how we're going to attack a team, how we're going to pitch a team. Part of it is the running game portion of it too. And Louis's done a really good job in really kind of spearheading all that.
Now, you guys obviously are built for power, and there's only one team in baseball, the Dodgers, who have hit more home runs than you guys. But one thing that we've seen with not just the Yankees, but in general, is that things tighten up in the playoffs and some of those home runs go away. Is there anything you can or plan to do to sort of prepare this team should you end up in October in a situation where the home runs just aren't showing up the way they did during the regular season?
Look, I think it goes into what we're talking about to this point. You know, it's like we're pouring into everything. We're pouring into all the margins. Like, where can we gain a little bit of an edge to be a little bit better, a little bit more of a complete team? And I think it's manifested itself so far. Again, albeit early, in that, you know, we've won games in a lot of different ways. You know, look, the home run's an important part of it, and frankly remains an important part in the postseason. I mean, you know, sometimes and Michael and I have talked about this a lot over the years, like the home run still manifests itself in the postseason. A lot of, obviously you're facing more consistently quality pitching. So, you know, runs are, you know, a little harder to come by, but usually the teams that are winning are still, there's a big home run in the game, or, you know, they've gotten some people on base and boom, a mistake shows up and they don't miss it. So that's still an important part, but look, you got to be able to win a lot of different ways. And we feel like the tighter we can be in every aspect, the better our chances are if and when we get there.
Talking to Aaron Boone, his regular segment here on Thursdays on the Michael Kay Show. A couple of quick hits. Concern about kind of Falefa. I think he's 0 for his last 17 or 19. What are you seeing?
No, you know, he's probably chased a little bit. You know, I He smoked the ball his last at bat. I thought he had a really good at bat going the other way with a runner in scoring position late where lined out right to the right fielder. So, no, just one of the ebbs and flows where, you know, you get into a little, you know, 3 or 4 day funk, probably expanded the zone a little bit too much, but not anything I'm worried about.
All right, Aaron Hicks is getting on base, Aaron. He's getting on base. He's in the top 10 in walks in the American League, but not hitting that much and certainly not hitting with runners in scoring position. What are you seeing there?
Yeah, just missing some pitches that, you know, when you get that pitch, you gotta get it. You know, it's, you know, Reggie Jackson would always say to me, you know, when you get that pitch that you can do something with and really drive or put in play with authority, you can't put it on the net. And I think there's, you know, when he has gotten his pitch, kind of a just missed here and there. The good thing, though, through this, while he is kind of finding his way a little bit, is like you said, he's getting on base. I think I checked it today. I think he's at like 380, 390 on base percentage. So that when you're struggling a little bit to really get going and getting that quality contact going, at least being able to get on base is a huge factor, and he's been able to do that.
Are you getting frustrated that it hasn't happened yet for Gallo? Like that toot where he goes off and hits home runs a lot, you know, in bunch?
Right. Well, no, because I feel like if you look back over the last week of games, he's actually getting his hits. He's getting on base a little bit. You know, he had the couple home runs, and then he had the groin where he was down, you know, a day or two. But he's come right back in. I think he had a hit and a walk again yesterday. So he's gaining some traction. And, you know, slowly creeping up there. And I know we're going to get to a stretch where, you know, he's got that ability to where he gets locked in, the power starts really playing, and he can carry a little bit. So I do feel like we're actually getting some traction there over the last week as far as, you know, him consistently mixing in a hit and getting on base a little bit.
Do you think Seve is getting the credit that he deserves throughout baseball? Do people know just how good this guy is? You guys have not lost a game with him on the hill. How impressed have you been with him?
You know, what's been exciting is, you know, his first couple of starts, I thought, you know, he's really good, really in command. And his last couple, you know, haven't been perfect by any means. And he's kind of found a way to keep us in the game and kind of get to the middle innings, you know, when it's been a struggle. You know, I was worried the other night he might not get out of the first as his pitch count was climbing up, and then certainly the second as well. I think he was up to 65 pitches in that second inning. But he's found a way and settled in and been able to make little adjustments on the fly. So I've been encouraged to see him not only pitch well and the stuff's there and he's throwing well, but also the ability to make some adjustments and handle a little bit of adversity within a game.
I don't know if you're willing to answer this, but I've been monitoring how you use LeMahieu and Donaldson, and it's not 50-50, more Donaldson than LeMahieu, but LeMahieu's had a lot of starts at third, and Donaldson the DH. Do you think LeMahieu's a better third baseman?
I think they've both played really well at third. You know, that it's one thing that stood out for me is how well and I think it just speaks to where he's at health-wise. Remember, he had an arm issue last year in the middle of the year, DJ, where it prevented me from using him at third base, and I started using Odor over there just because he didn't have the arm strength dealing with that little injury, and then obviously the sports hernia that he had. So I've been really encouraged by how well he's played over there at third, but equally with Donaldson. Donaldson can really play third. I'm just a little more careful with Donaldson. And, you know, the last couple of days he's been dealing with a little bit of a shoulder issue, so I've got him a DH and an off day, you know, just to kind of to reset him a little bit. So, I've been really pleased with both of those guys at the corner.
All right, is Gleyber as close to the 18-19 Gleyber that you've seen in a while?
I just think he's in a good place, and we're seeing a good player, and he's obviously come up big for us. You know, he's hitting the ball with authority the other way. He's gotten some really big clutch hits for us, and I just love his focus and where he's at in the construct of the team. Like, he is You know, he's just really dedicated. He's got a really good routine. He's prepared on the days he hasn't played. He's been prepared and ready and actually been great off the bench in big spots. I'm just encouraged with where he's at and how he's swinging the bat. And I actually think he's swung the bat better than his numbers might suggest. I mean, he's got the 5 homers, which is really good, but, you know, he's not hitting for a very high average right now, and I don't necessarily think that's indicative of how he's swung the bat. I feel like his at-bats have been really good.
Are my eyes deceiving me? Because when I watched Anthony Rizzo last year, mm-hmm. after you guys got him, I scratched my head and I go, I don't think he's a platinum glove first baseman. And now, this year, he looks like everything that I had been told that he was. Was he not as good at first base last year as he is now?
You know what, Michael? I think he is better this year. I think right away he showed us, you know, we were like, oh, wow, this is a really good defensive first baseman. Like, he when he came over, he obviously was hitting the homers and got a ton of big hits before he got COVID and everything. But was really impactful defensively. I think when he came back, he was never not good offensively. I mean, he was solid. He just wasn't, you know, as dynamic when we first got him, you know, once COVID hit. And I think the same could have been said defensively, but he's been spectacular over there.
Now, what about speed? Mm-hmm. Is Rizzo the slowest player on this baseball team?
No.
Who is the slowest man on this baseball team?
Slowest man. I'm going to let you guys run wild with that and speculate on it, but it is not Rizzo.
All right. Now, you were a broadcaster between your playing days and Yankee manager.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you make a great living as Yankee manager, but when you see that Tom Brady's getting $37.5 million a year, are you starting to think, you know what, the booth doesn't look that bad?
He's getting 37.5. That's what it is.
$375 million for 10 years.
Wow, and still playing. That's
He's just waiting for him.
That's the NFL and Tom Brady, man. That's a different animal.
It's a lot of money.
I'm good.
Aaron, what's the max amount of time you're able to sort of pull away and disconnect from the job during the week? Like, is there one day when you on an off day do you get several hours away? What's the longest stretch where you can just chill?
On an off day, there are instances where you got to be in there or something's going on in the season, but generally speaking, an off day is an off day and I'm away and, you know, I may have, you know, some phone calls or whatever, touching base on certain things, but, and then even, you know, during the season, like, you know, I'm okay. It's a love affair too. It's like, you know, I love it. I love the grind of it. I love the work of it. I woke up and had breakfast and, you know, made some phone calls, called home and got a workout in, like, and then, you know, was on the bus at 12:30 heading over to the field. So like there's plenty of time in the day where I'm not overwhelmed or overstressed or anything like that.
All right. Final thing. 7 previous times in the history of the Yankees, which started in 1903, they started 22-8 or better. Mm-hmm. Each one of those times they went to the World Series. Is that a number you want to hear, or you'd rather not know it?
Oh, I don't care. But let's make – how many times?
7. Let's make it 8.
Well, let's make it 8 then. Let's make it 8. That's what I say to it. I mean, you know, hopefully – I mean, that's our hope. That's our goal. That's what we're working towards. We want to – you know, we want to win a world championship, and that's a long ways away, and we've certainly got out of the gates great, and that's exciting, and but, you know, we got a long ways to go, a lot of work to do, and we look forward to that.
Did you pack for 92 degrees? I didn't.
It's unbelievable. I was just out there shagging, and it went from April to August.
It's really
hot. It is smoking outside right now. Yeah, so no, I did not. looks like it cools off a little, though, as the weekend. Looks like here in Baltimore should be a really nice road trip.
By the way, you mean shagging fly balls, correct?
Yeah. Okay. What'd I say?
You said just shagging.
Oh, did I say shagging?
And he's thinking Austin Powers because he's a Sorry. Lunatic. That's why. Thank you, Aaron.
Well
See you
played.
Later.
Well played. All right, Aaron. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.